We welcome to the KBQ studios to kick off our week on the agenda, State Senator Brad Hawkins. It's time for the listening tour, where he gets out and about and wants to hear from constituents. And seventh annual. It's you've been doing this a while.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dave. It's great to be on with you. Yeah, I'm really excited about this year's listening tour. It is the seventh annual. At one point when I created this listening tour several years ago, soon after I first got elected to the state senate, I kind of envisioned what would it be like, a 20th annual or something like that. But 7 years has ticked off pretty quickly, and I'm really grateful that the public has responded so positively to this listening tour. Pretty much I've traveled all throughout the district. I schedule this listening tour for approximately 1 week every fall. I listen to constituents all throughout the year. I visit the district all throughout the year, but this week in particular is really where I can go to these communities and listen to people where they are and kind of collect ideas and prepare me for the upcoming legislative session, which is right around the corner.
Now, how have you revised this since the 12th district is a different footprint now?
Yeah, so we've changed it up. And in particular, this year is the first year that I can fully reach out to all the new areas in the legislative district. And for the KPQ listeners who may not be familiar, every 10 years, the state of Washington adjusts the legislative districts to rebalance them based on population. We had a lot of, we basically had underreported population in central and eastern Washington. So all of those districts needed to expand geographically to pick up population. The 12th district got nudged over the Cascades a little bit to pick up population. You basically have to go way over the mountains because there's not a lot in between here and the other side of the Cascades. So we picked up population. And for this listening tour, the whole listening tour is scheduled September 5th through the 8th, but we're really focused a lot of the time in the new areas. So in the Snohomish County portion of the district, along the highway, two communities there into Monroe. I'm doing a town hall in Monroe. And then also in the relatively small portion of rural King County that I represent, including Carnation and North Bend and an unincorporated area known as Falls City. So I'm hosting some coffees there and looking forward to connecting with people there.
All right. So Tuesday kicks off with September 5th. So that's a week from tomorrow in Chelan County. The Wednesday and Thursday, 6th and 7th in Snohomish County. Mm-hmm. Friday, September 8th in King County. So the way the listening tour works, the meetings are by appointment. And how do you participate? How do you get a chance to have a chance to share maybe some legislative action or an idea or just something that you'd like to bring to Senator Hawkins' attention?
Well, there's lots of different ways. And what I've discovered is once I put out information inviting people to join me for the listening tour, a lot of people say, you know, I unfortunately can't make it to that day or this event, but here are my thoughts I wanted to share with you. So we sent out all the information via my email newsletter. We're posted on Facebook and all those sort of things. And I'm excited to be on the agenda with you. But basically, people can schedule appointments with my office. For example, September 5th, we're going to be at the Confluence Technology Center. We already have several appointments scheduled, but we schedule those and then we kind of visit different communities and hear from people. Some people bring concerns or frustrations about state government. Other people have specific legislative ideas. Some groups or organizations have budget requests that they want to get included in the budget. And I'm really proud, Dave, but we have been able to get some of these ideas that have originated from listening tours make their way all the way to the governor's desk in the form of legislation. One of my very first listening tours, the city of Leavenworth, I met with them. They had this need to dispose of brush and yard waste, and I kind of worked with them on a bill that eventually became law. The YMCA met with me just last year on the listening tour about capital improvements to get some funding so that they can acquire land for their future YMCA at the 5th Street redevelopment area that they're working with Chelan PD on. I worked with Pinnacles Prep Charter School to get them some funding through the city of Wenatchee to remodel and renovate their current building, and those renovations are just completed, and they've done an outstanding job with that. And there's different, like a road paving project to a fishing, popular fishing destination. Some of these other things we were able to get accomplished. And all of those ideas originated from the listening tour. And then, like I said, not everybody necessarily has to bring a legislative idea or a budget request, but it does sort of give me enough time. If I hear from people or groups in the fall, it gives me time to kind of formulate those ideas or get the bill actually drafted, get it in a position where I can pre-file it or work with across the aisle to secure a bipartisan co-sponsor. So having that, having the listening tour in the fall is really a great time, because it still gives me time before the holidays to kind of get my ducks in a row. And if people come to me just with different thoughts, ideas, or suggestions, then I'm able to sort of kind of formulate some opinions on things before I go over to represent them in the Capitol. So the listening tour actually helps me better represent our district, and going to all these different communities is a good way to have some geographical diversity in terms of what I'm hearing.
12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins with us, and the 7th annual listening tour is coming up the 5th through the 8th, so during the week of Labor Day. So if a group or an organization or an individual brings an idea to you or points out an issue during that week, is it potential that something could get presented during this upcoming legislative session?
Yeah, that's the idea. So
that quick, huh?
Well, yeah, the legislative session begins in January. You can pre-file bills as early as December. So having something in the fall really gives me the time to do my due diligence, depending on the complexity of the issue. The upcoming legislative session is a short 60-day session, so it might not be the most opportune time to run more comprehensive or complex legislation. But that's kind of the idea. And like I said, it's really kind of just a kind of a spark that we have to get people to kind of keep communicating with us, because I really value being a good listener. I think it's the most important part of my job, frankly. I know a lot of people like to hear legislators talk, or at least legislators like to hear themselves talk. And being on the radio, of course, you're in the speaking business. It's super important and a great way to communicate. But being a good listener, it helps you be the most effective leader that you can in representing the people who elect you. So I really value that. I've really practiced that as a skill set. And people have really responded well every year. It seems like for a while there, when we started, we had a couple days of a listening tour and we weren't sure if we're going to fill up all the spots. So then we just keep adding, kind of expanding. And that's how it's sort of become a week-long annual event. But like I said, I'm listening to constituents all throughout the year. I travel throughout the district all throughout the year. But this is really a good week every fall that kind of gets us focused on the upcoming session and really gets constituents and groups thinking about it too, because a lot of times, unfortunately, groups approach legislators with ideas or requests in the winter or during session. And at that point, honestly, it's almost too late. So you really have to start working earlier. And someone in the minority over in Olympia, you know, that's, I've learned that, you know, if you want to have success, you really have to be organized and plan ahead and float ideas through all the groups to kind of smooth out any controversies before you actually pursue it.
So, and folks should know, the elected bodies, the county commission, the city officials, they already get their opportunity to meet with our local elected legislators, our representatives, and our state senator. this is really for the individuals and maybe community groups, that sort of thing, correct?
Yeah, well, it's really for everybody. And I just had a great visit with the Chelan County Commissioner. So I don't anticipate, for example, they'll be requesting a listening tour appointment. But it is an opportunity to meet with any group. We have met with business groups, agricultural groups, and individual citizens, you know, your average stay-at-home mom or grandma or whatever the issue they have. I mean, being accessible to the people you elect is super important, and that's another part of this, is I want people to be comfortable in bringing ideas or feedback to me, even if they're just frustrated about something. Or a lot of average people might need help getting connected about their benefits or programs with state agencies, and we have staff at the listening tours as well that we take good notes, and if we can't, sometimes we can just answer their question right then and there or refer them to the appropriate agency staffer, or we take that on for them. We say, let us get your information since we serve you, and we will get back to you with information. We will contact the Department of Transportation. We will contact the Department of Health. We will, you know, reach out to labor and industries on your behalf, and we kind of work those issues for people, and I think they've really appreciated it. But we've also met every year with the Chelan Douglas Land Trust, had some great conversations with them. They brought me an issue early on, I think in 2017, and the next legislative session we were able to get funding for the Saddle Rock trails included in the budget, and now they did all that work in the city of Wenatchee, you know, in partnership with them, and now the trail's all refreshed and regraded, and there's a lot of improvements. So there's a lot of good things that come from it, whether it's small groups of elected officials, or just everyday citizens.
I don't know how many Snohomish County listeners we have, or King County for that matter, but as far as the September 5th meeting in Chelan County, are all the slots filled? Or
no. No, we have several people who've already requested, because we announced the listening tour on August 22nd through my emails, but we do have slots available. If people are interested, they can reach out to me through my website, senatorbradhawkins.org. We have a contact me page. That request form will go to my staff as well as me, and then someone from my staff will reach out to you to offer you some available time slots. And again, we're going to be at the Confluence Technology Center out there in Old Station most of the day, so hopefully that's a convenient place for most people in Chelan County. And also, you know, there was a time, since this is the 7th annual, we went through the COVID years, we did those remotely, but we're back in person, which I'm really excited about. But if people aren't comfortable, or if they'd rather participate remotely, we still do that. So sometimes I'll meet with a group, and then we'll pull up our computers and do a remote group session, and then we'll go back to meeting in person. So I don't want people to feel like they have to come to the Confluence Technology Center if they want to meet with me. Also, I don't want people to feel like they have to have the latest Zoom technology and a nice computer to participate too, because we can do an old school conference call, and we've done those too. So like I said, what's super important is for people to know that I am accessible, and I'm here to serve you. And even, like I said, if people can't participate, just send me an email or go to my website and shoot me some thoughts or comments, because that's all helpful too.
Okay, senatorbradhawkins.org to arrange one of those meetings here for the Chelan County area, September 5th, and that is a week from tomorrow. So let's take a break. Look ahead to the legislative session. It'll be a short 60-day session, and get your impressions on maybe some of the top priorities, maybe some of your priorities. And for here in the 12th District, 121 now, we're talking to Senator Brad Hawkins, and listening to her week coming up next week, and more when we come back on The Agenda, News Radio 560 KBQ. All right, we're talking to State Senator Brad Hawkins, and of course, once we get into the legislative session, we will have Brad on. We had State Senator Shelley Short as well, and it was fun, because now we've got the 7th District, which those boundaries got changed on us, and 7th District comes way down into almost to, into East Wenatchee there a little bit. So we appreciated getting her perspective on things as well. But we'll look forward to the legislative hotlines, a short 60-day session. So what are going to be your some of your priorities you'd like to focus on? And maybe some things that you'll hear during the listening tour.
Yeah, and really that's another great reason why I like the listening tour, because it sort of does help me develop what would be a suite of priorities. Normally for a longer session, I could have kind of a handful of legislative priorities. I usually try for something in each of the budgets. We have three budgets, an operating budget, transportation budget, and capital budget. So I try to get at least one or two sprinklings of things as a focus for those. And then also a couple different pieces of legislation. And I have some ideas for this year, but I haven't quite got that all fully developed because we haven't really had the benefit of the full listening tour as well. So I'm working to gather that. I've had some different educational ideas as far as making some reforms to the state, but really, you know, I have to keep things practical in a short session and also in a non-budget year as well. I mean, we're probably going to make some adjustments to the budgets, but we're the state budget's on a two-year cycle, and when we go back for the January 2024 session, we're going to be sort of in between that current budget biennium. So I think anything that has a financial component to it is not likely to have a strong chance of passage, and so all those things kind of factor in. I was to your question, though, on a call just recently with some Chelan constituents, and they had concerns and questions about how the property tax notifications occur and the process behind that, and wanting to get some more options with electronic notifications. And so I may be working with the Assessors Association and others to try to bring a little bit more, I wouldn't say transparency, but kind of an update on process, given the technological advances with that. So there could be some things, and then that's kind of hitting that sweet spot, stuff like that that may not have a cost impact, may not be controversial, but hopefully it could be supported on both sides. But like I said, I'm probably going to have some budget requests as well in each of the budgets with the hope of maybe getting something. We usually do a modest update to the capital budget, even though we're sort of midterm. And so that might be another opportunity to drive some benefits to our district. But at the same time, you know, it used to be that the Wenatchee Valley was sort of the epicenter of everything in our district. It was by far the whole population base. And now that's just not necessarily entirely the case. And that's one of the reasons why before the redistricting occurred, I worked so hard to work with the city of Wenatchee and Mayor Coons to help secure the funds for the Confluence Parkway project. And that was like $84 million of state funds that are going to that new second bridge across the Wenatchee. And we got that scheduled over the next 6 years. And Congresswoman Schreier was great to work with on federal dollars. But, you know, that's a big, big project for Wenatchee. And we kind of snuck that in and got that done right before this big redistricting. And now that I'm in this new district, every time I go to Monroe or Carnation or North Bend or Sultan along Highway 2, you hear about all the transportation traffic challenges in those areas. So I'm going to need to continue to make sure I spread the benefits and demonstrate value all throughout the district, because there are some major, major needs just in transportation alone, let alone capital or other needs throughout the whole district now.
I wanted to ask you about that. Mm-hmm. Does the state sometimes look at, okay, well, the 12th district, you get this much money, or do they tend to look at it more like separate projects? Because we've got like this project here, but boy, that Monroe corridor, that can be a mess as well. So now you're going to have to and be expected to fight for like two different projects or capital projects Monroe. You know, maybe they got a library or they've got something going on there that needs focus. Whereas Wenatchee East Wenatchee has been kind of more of a main focus in the past because that was, like you said, the epicenter of the 12th District. Mm-hmm. Now there's another big population area way over on the West End.
Yeah, and in some ways, the newly configured district is like three districts. So you have the Greater Wenatchee, East Wenatchee, Chelan County area, and then you have the Snohomish County portion, the communities along Highway 2 and into Monroe, and the whole community of Monroe. And I was just over there for the Monroe Fair and the Monroe Parade.
Take the fairgrounds as an example. Yeah. Do they go, well, you already got money for your Chelan County fairgrounds. You don't need any more fairgrounds money.
Well, when it comes to capital projects and the capital budget, we do have a little bit more apportionment per district. So, but, you know, we have to try to spread that around. And we were able to secure some funds for the Wenatchee Valley YMCA, for the Wenatchee Valley Museum reconfiguration, and some of the other things that are happening. But at the same time, this is last legislative session, I sponsored a request to get capital funds to a park in Sultan. And the city of Monroe is redesigning their town hall and municipal courtrooms and everything. They're involved in a $17 million redesign of their city building in Monroe, and I supported that project along with the 12th District House seatmates. And then we supported a project in North Bend, too. So we try to be obviously responsive to the needs of our district, but at the same time, you have to be strategic about making investments all throughout the district because there's needs everywhere. But when it comes to transportation projects, I am a little bit disappointed with the newly configured district because I feel like we've inherited massive transportation challenges in the state. Just along Highway 2, it really bottles up in Sultan, and the Sultan, I'm working with them, but we have almost $85 million worth of potential projects identified just in the Sultan area to improve safety and traffic flow through Sultan, and that may create issues somewhere else along Highway 2. You know, what's interesting about Highway 2, and I know I hear Jason report in the morning about different traffic challenges and things, but the population in Western Washington has significantly increased over the last 30 to 40 years, and the capacity of Highway 2 hasn't changed hardly at all. And so, and just think about the massive numbers of drivers traveling from west to east and then back on Sundays. It's a problem. And I know a lot of my colleagues in transportation want to talk about transit as a solution to different things. And I would support a multi-jurisdictional transit system, a shuttle, a link transit from like Leavenworth out to Monroe. You're actually crossing three different counties, Chelan, King, and then ending up in Snohomish. I totally would support that. But we also need to widen Highway 2. We need to make some significant safety improvements. And so when it comes to things like that, I'm really advocating hard for improvements. And I'm also trying to share with my legislative colleagues, especially those on the transportation committee that I serve on, this is really a statewide issue. Highway 2 is a statewide issue. It's not a 12th district issue. And I think I'm having some success with that. But then, similarly, on I-90 near North Bend, we're investing significantly to increase, to widen Highway 18, which a lot of my constituents in North Bend take Highway 18 down towards Tacoma for commuting. We're working to widen that right now. And then also, between North Bend and Monroe, which is all my district now, there is a state route, 203 and 202, and similarly, there have been hardly any capacity improvements to those roadways as well. And so when we talk about safety, I think we also need to talk about widening some of our highways, interstates, and state routes, because the population growth has just been incredible over the past several decades.
Now, is that how much of that is funded by gas tax?
Well, good question. It depends because what we do for our transportation budget in past years is that the gas tax increases, which I've never voted for a gas tax increase, But the gas tax increases and license plate fees and other like associated fees for hybrid vehicles and things get put together in a revenue package. And if there's new revenues on the table, there's also a corresponding list of new projects that get completed or new projects and preservation and maintenance of the current system, which in my opinion is more important than new projects, is preserving what we have. But in the most recent go round, we didn't actually utilize any new gas tax. I voted for the most recent transportation package, which was known as the Move Ahead Washington Plan. It was approved by the legislature in 2022. It basically utilized a lot of existing sources of funding from the state, as well as recent federal infrastructure dollars that were going to be flowing through. And that was the plan. For example, the one I did vote for is the one that we secured the full funding for the Confluence Parkway project in Wenatchee and the widening of Highway 18 and near North Bend and some other important things. So I saw that plan as something really beneficial for my district, but I'll probably be at the table on a lot of transportation packages going forward. They're not approved every year, every like handful of years, but you know, I have some major transportation needs in the new 12th district now.
All righty, short 60-day session, so let's talk about the potential for some other legislation when we come back. State Senator Brad Hawkins, I guess we'll just hold you over for the rest of the hour.
That sounds great. Happy to be with you.
1:37 on the agenda. KPQ. And we're talking with State Senator Brad Hawkins. Again, the listening tour is September 5th through the 8th, so next Tuesday through Friday, and in Chelan County. We'll let you know if you'd like to get one of those appointments. Get a hold of Senator Hawkins' office, senatorbradhawkins.org, and arrange to get one of those sessions to talk about an issue or maybe an idea that you'd like to present to Senator Hawkins. It'll be Wednesday and Thursday over in Snohomish County, and then Friday the 8th for that portion of the 12th District that is in King County. Right now, we're kind of talking a little bit about a short 60-day session. And, of course, is there any supplements to the budget that are worked on during the short 60-day sessions?
Yes. Basically, the main focus of the 60-day session will be to approve adjustments or supplements to those budgets. I mean, we did a lot of work in the last session, which was 105 days. We developed and approved all three budgets, operating, transportation, and capital. There could be a little bit more revenue available in capital, so we might be able to get a sprinkling of new investments to our districts. In transportation, we're probably going to be fine-tuning the list of projects that were previously approved in that 2022 transportation plan that I talked about. One of the challenges in the transportation system statewide is all of the bids are coming back way higher than anticipated. The cost of public works projects and others, it might be starting to settle down a little bit. Contractors are getting a little bit more hungry for work, but basically the cost of the projects were estimated to come in way higher than what was anticipated. Although some of the revenues in our transportation system through some of the fees and other things are a little bit higher too. So we're going to have to do some work on transportation. And then in operating, you know, I've been concerned about the operating budget. The state approved a record $69.8 billion two-year budget. The budget has more than doubled in Governor Inslee's term in office, or several terms now, and I'm concerned about it. The revenues are projected to flatten out. We're a very sales tax dependent revenue. And during COVID, fortunately, the revenues kept going up. But the legislature, and this is why I voted against these budgets, but the budget writers have continued to sort of spend to the edge. And I would rather keep more in reserves financially for our state so that when we do have a bit of an economic downturn or the revenues flatten, we're able to kind of shore up some of those programs with some of the reserve dollars that we have until the revenue flow picks up again. But what happens when we spend to the edge is that we don't have the the money available to backfill, and we essentially are forced into a situation of doing two undesirable things: raising taxes to make up the difference, or cutting programs, or some combination of both. And I'd rather not be in a situation of the legislature continuing to do that, because normally what ends up happening, at least with the unbalanced legislature that we have now, is more taxes. And this is at a time when I'm not sure the state can afford it. But we're going to be making adjustments to all three of those budgets. Those are the things we're going to be focused on. We're probably going to make another run at trying to make some improvements to the police pursuits bill, maybe some cleanups to the Blake drug possession law that we passed during the special session on May 16th, and maybe some other things. But it's essentially the same legislature that we just came from. So everybody's elected for 2 years in the House, the same senators. So the political dynamics haven't really changed.
But everyone in the House will be having to run again, right, in the fall.
Half the Senate.
Yeah. And I just wonder, with a short 60-day session, if there's any big social legislation that might be pushed, because you don't have very much time to debate it. I mean, it's just real quick. Anything that you're hearing?
I don't think so. Usually, a lot of those bigger ticket issues, whether it was the climate bills or the gender affirming care and some of the inclusive learning standards for education. I mean, there were some pretty intense debates last legislative session on a lot of those things. And I think the idea politically, if I'm just speculating, is to get some of those things kind of pushed through in the longer session, and then just do some kind of mundane sort of cleanup things and non-controversial things during the shorter session, because that leads into a election season. But I'm sure when election time rolls around, a lot of us are going to be mentioning some of the challenging things that were approved and pushed through in prior years.
Have you got an item that you formulated yet that you hope to introduce?
Oh, well, I've had some ideas, like last legislative session, on adding days to the school calendar. And but the challenging part is now that the budget's been determined, those things are likely not going to move forward. But I actually had a series of things drafted up with the thought of, after the last election cycle, if the balance of power was closer, being the ranking member on the K-12 Education Committee in the Senate, I'd have a real opportunity to be at the table on some statewide reforms. And I know everybody wants to say, oh, I want to reform this system, I want to reform that. But really what I'm talking about is making the education system work better for the students and the taxpayers. Right now, on average per student in state and local levy dollars, we're spending approximately $15,000 per student per year. So I got my kids getting ready to start school this week, and my son Luke, that's $15,000 of investments, taxpayer dollars for him, and $15,000 this upcoming year for my son Tyler. And what I've discovered in the state is the state of Washington tends to spend more and more money every year on education, but it really doesn't do substantive things to improve the system substantially. And, coming out of COVID with all the learning loss and things like that, I really thought we had some great opportunities to do some targeted tutoring, add some extra days, do some concentrated summer school to help bring people up to grade level. Some of these students are 2 and 4 years behind grade level. And now that COVID is now behind us, it seems like the superintendent of public instruction and other people don't even want to talk about the learning loss that is plaguing our system all throughout the K-12 system right now. Kids who were a year or two ahead of grade level are now at grade level, and kids that weren't at grade level, like I said, are now 2 and 4 years behind grade level. I met with middle school math teachers who told me they need elementary school math curriculum at the junior high. That's how far some of these, that's how much some of these kids are struggling. So it just, some of these things, in terms of my priorities, I have priorities for our district, smaller things. But on a larger scale, when we think about education how we're spending almost half of the operating budget, that's $69 billion in K-12 education, and how we tend to spend a little bit more money every year, how the school districts ask for more and more in their levies, but we're not really significantly improving the system for students. It's really troubling. And should I mention, Dave, the scope of services that school districts are now providing, it's so much more than just the academic function that was the charter of our school system. And a lot of people ask me, well, when are we going to ever be able to fully fund education? Well, we're not going to be able to fully fund education if we're trying to deliver all of the community and society services through our school system.
Well, maybe answer this in 2 minutes or less.
Yeah, because that whole topic's a conversation for a whole nother agenda session.
But how do you get more kids back into the school system? Public education is hemorrhaging students. A lot of parents are keeping their kids and just returning to private school or homeschooling kids. And so you're trying to provide that to less and less kids all the time.
Right. Well, and the reality is I support all different opportunities to deliver educational services, whether it's homeschooling, private schooling, public charter schools, or traditional public schools. We need to support all these opportunities because every child learns a little bit differently. And if a homeschool opportunity or private school or public charter school like Pinnacles Prep is working better for those students and those families, that's great. If the traditional public school and the school sports and all those other awesome opportunities provide the best opportunity for those students, and we need to provide those opportunities as well. But I think a lot of parents have opted out of our public school system, and it's been for a combination of factors. One, during COVID, they just didn't see the rigor remotely that the school districts were providing. Most of the school districts, including those around here, were more focused on delivering lunches than delivering academic content, frankly. And so they just kind of stepped away, and then they didn't like the masking for whatever reason, some of those requirements. And then also, we have to acknowledge the push for all the different inclusive learning and transgender curriculum, comprehensive sex education, the blurring of the lines. You know, it's really difficult to differentiate where a public school's responsibilities end these days and where our family and community's responsibilities begin, because, again, the public schools are trying to kind of do everything, and it's costing a lot, and I think they're struggling to deliver their academic services. So for a lot of reasons, I think you're seeing a lot of parents and students opt out, and they may never come back.
All right, we'll take a break here. Back to wrap it up today with Senator Brad Hawkins on the agenda. All right, getting a chance to hear about the listening tour. And again, if you'd like to see if one of those slots is still available here in Chelan County for next week, it sounds like on Tuesday the 5th, there are still some opportunities if you'd like to get in touch with Senator Brad Hawkins' office to do that.
Yeah, I'd love that, Dave. If people want to participate in my listening tour, contact me through my website, which is senatorbradhawkins.org. We have a contact form, and we do have some slots available. And pretty soon, if you submit that, you'll get a response from my legislative assistant, and we'll try to offer you whatever remaining slots you have. And if you have groups as well, we can accommodate larger groups or smaller groups, remotely, telephone, all those things.
Okay. Hope you get some great ideas, and thanks for giving us a little preview of what will be a short 60-day session getting underway in January. We'll look forward to the KPQ Legislative Hotline and the weekly visits from you live from Olympia. Yeah,
I look forward to that too, Dave. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to all the KPQ listeners for the opportunity to represent you.
All right, thanks for being here. State Senator Brad Hawkins joining us on the agenda this afternoon.